I'd just like to pray. Thank you, Lord, for this new day. Thank you for each and everyone here this morning. As your word promises in Hebrews 13, my God who puts all things together be with us this morning. Let my words be food for thought and reflection of all you have provided and for the glory and honour you so deserve. My title this morning is He Makes All Things Beautiful in His Time, Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. And I like to sort of categorise things. So my theme is show and tell and a garland, if you just keep that in mind. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to emphasise this sharing time this morning that it does not come across as prideful, but of true thankfulness. I love to study and look into meanings of things, picture association, and Jesus often used parables. The phrase, as I prayed, food for thought, means to give serious contemplation. And garland, show and tell. The meaning is objects strung together, namely leaves, foliage and flowers, or a collection of short literacy pieces. I thought that was quite interesting. The ivy I've used stands for evergreen plant. It is a very strong plant which grows in the hardest of environments and represents eternity and strong affectionate attachment, which we all know when we're trying to clean out sometimes the ivy that's got everywhere. Right, and the white and red roses that I've placed in here alongside symbolises the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the pearls that I've woven mean valuable treasure that needs no polishing or cutting by man. It is an honour to be asked to share this morning, but also to a point of being fearful. I was worried whether it would be too feminine for the guys, but you love a garden, don't you? And too long. How do you condense 60 plus years of thankfulness? I was strengthened as I handed this over to the Lord and felt the soft words, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do your best and I will do the rest." For many years through my health struggles, I started to journal in the early hours, and it has grown each day to an excitement of this time I spend with the Lord. It started with my Bible, journal and a pen. Now has grown to Word for Today, Promises and Blessing Scripture verse turnovers for every day of the year, Jesus Always Devotional, a mother's prayer that I've typed out that I quote each day, and a scripture and song songbook. And which now fills a bag. And as you know, many know me, a bag is never far away. And also, if you sit beside me in church, you will know I'm always jotting down or scribbling notes in the sermon time. I have been at church on Vogel now for 18 months, and my Bible is bulging with note papers of every sermon I've sat under. Since fellowshipping at Church on Vogel, I felt like I have come home. Thankfulness does tend to make us go down memory lane. 50 years ago, I came in my early teens to every girls' rally here. I have actually proof. Grace, there's the Every Girl Rally badge on the beret. I am truly thankful for the leaders' commitment of time and obedience for God's calling and sharing the love of Jesus. I have to mention dear Grace, Lillian Rowe, and of Lenora. They have been faithful servants those many years ago. Even today, as I said, I have a bag appropriately named Fresh Inspiration Within. Many a word comes in the early hours when all quiet, and I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit, and how we know this is the Holy Spirit, it always reflects God's word and his character. Time, as the scripture I quoted, he makes all things beautiful in his time. I have 15 clocks around my home and I still manage to be late. Some function by pendulum or battery, but time reference with God is orchestrated and precise. When we understand God has a purpose and a plan for your being, wherever you are, so as we be faithful and seek to work towards where God has placed us, and when the time is right, he will reveal things and bless us. We were born for such a time as this. My journal has the words teach, inspire, and motivate on top of each page. Teach says to me, I am learning new things each day. Inspire, and I love sharing with others. Motivate, getting alongside others to encourage and challenge. I would like to read an entry I wrote on the first morning of this new year, 2020. Today is a precious gift. Look for signs on your journey of his loving presence. A new year, a new journal. Oh Lord, I am excited with anticipation for this year. I cannot explain how I feel. Like a child Christmas morning, thankful for all the preparation, then the surprises to behold. It is a different feeling I have than in the past years. By your Holy Spirit and your loving hand of protection, let this not be quenched. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. The Holy Spirit represents all that God stands for and works to heal and love, to move a community towards the goodness and holiness that is in God's essence. Wow, just that truth. I love the words. As 2020 whispers in, God speaks to us in a still small voice. The gospel is a gentle voice of love, grace, mercy, peace, and pardon and righteousness, and a gift of salvation you may have freely. John 10:10, I come so that you may have life and live it more abundantly. Isaiah 61 verse 3, God can bring beauty out of ashes. My grace is sufficient for thee and all you need. We learn more about God in the valleys than the mountaintops. God uses all things and pain at times to communicate. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pain. God's presence and purposes are greater than our problems. Thank you, Lord, you are with us through these things, and may I learn and deepen my trust in you. That's the end of that journal. It's growing. Used to be a few lines, but now it can be pages. For those who do not know me well, I was born in Australia and came to New Zealand with my parents and brother when I was 8. I've lived in Palmerston North and Ashurst all these past years. I married my school sweetheart, Bevan, at the age of 17. We have 5 beautiful children, 1 daughter and 4 sons. All married now and blessed with 17 amazing grandchildren. 12 boys and 5 girls, dominating the boys there. The loss of both of my parents and my dear husband, Bevan, married for over 42 years, just 4 years ago and very close together. My husband died suddenly of heart failure. This was a very painful and dark time for me and our family, but I know I will see them again in eternity. I just want to share something else. When we are walking through the valley of the shadow, and it was definitely a shadow of death, we become keenly aware of our neediness. During these times, holding on to God keeps us standing, and able to put one foot in front of the other. Pain can be physical and emotionally. Both are very real. There are seasons in life, sunshine and storms, blessing in trials. We learn so much through adversity, and many a time we feel so broken and alone. I cry out on my knees, help me, Lord. The words from Psalm 56, verse 8 came, you have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. He cares so much. Many a time the Lord has sent ones to encourage, pray, and give a helping hand. And some are in this very room, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. The pearl earrings I am wearing were a special gift and bring me comfort and a confidence when I wear them. In Proverbs 3, verse 15, she is more precious than pearls. The pearl is symbolic of wisdom gained through experience, extremely unique, like us, and of very special value. This is brought about by aggravation or irritation of sand in the shell. A large amount of nacre that forms around the irritant over time eventually becomes a pearl of great value. Pearls can also suggest tears and sadness if they are scattered on the ground or beach. Psalm 139, verse 18. How precious are your thoughts about me, Lord. They outnumber the grains of sand and wonders you have done. One of my passions is flowers, and floral work has been a healing for many a time. This is silk, but it's a bit hot to pick a real one. Something so beautiful, rose and the thorns we have to take note of. Something so beautiful when in bloom. Thorns are very painful and strong, which are attached to the stem below the foliage. The thorns are there for the protection of the bloom. The pests are deterred from reaching that bloom. As in life, we have things in place for our protection, trusting in God's faithfulness for the plans and purposes for our life. As I have learned to my detriment, just to step out to work in the garden, which is a new skill I had to learn in a hurry, I need my fashion accessories, filled in boots, gloves, safety glasses, and a sun hat. Our lives are like a painting with God as the master painter and unfolding before us. Thankfully, Lord, you are not finished with me and us yet. I'd just like to read this little pass it on card. I love going to the Christian bookshop and just get things that I think might just encourage someone. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he has planned for us, celebrating the treasure God created when he made you. We're blessed with Christian bookshops and TV channels. I love Shine. A very significant memory of thankfulness and faithfulness was of my dad at the age of 21. One of his passions was his red Indian motorcycle. Wow. He was involved in a very serious accident with a bus, probably double-decker those days too, in Australia. While in a Catholic hospital in a critical condition, then recovering for over a year, a Christian man would visit regularly and persevered over that time. He would sit and read the Bible to him, which led him to giving his heart to the Lord. My dad as a child was a very gifted drawer, and while in hospital his love of art grew, and the man that visited saw this, and as he was an owner of a signwriting business, when Dad recovered, went to work for him. God has had his hand on my dad all those years ago in the heritage and legacy handed down to our family. My younger brother is also an artist and a signwriter and in part-time ministry and uses his artwork to portray many a Bible message. My youngest son is a gifted artist of portraits and body art. Also now as the grandchildren are growing into their potential, already two are very talented in drawing. I'd just like to share something about another accident. Years ago, when our daughter was a teenager at the time, went on an evening drive in the country with a group of young people. namely some young men as well. They were involved in a car accident. When we finally got to the hospital, she said to me, "Mum, as the car was rolling down the hill into the field below, I felt the song come into my conscience. Your eye is on the sparrow. Your hand, it comforts me. And I thank you, Lord, for the protection as we pray for our children." He does place a hedge of protection around them. And the song that comes to mind, "Name your many blessings, name them one by one. Daily I lift up each and every one of my family by name. The power of prayer is real. Words on a page are seen. Spoken words and powerful prayers are unseen. We serve a risen Saviour." Last October, I wrote a verse of a song and a card to my son and daughter-in-law when their twins were born. It's from that song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy they give. But greater still, the calm assurance this child's face can face uncertain days because Christ lives in our hearts. Thankfulness, trust, and teaching all start with the letter T. The lowercase T is a picture of the cross. Sometimes I do not like to want to dwell on the fact I am a sinner and in need of forgiveness. God loves us unconditionally, and his love for us is unbreakable and unending. So thankful we have been given this promise. The most read and shared scripture of our time is John 3:16. I was just wondering if we could just say it all together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Will you love him? On closing, this piece of olive branch symbolises hope. In Psalm 52 verse 8, "O Lord, please help me to be like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever." Thank you for listening this morning.
Thanks so much for that, Lynette. Next, we're going to hear from Andrew Dignam. So if you'd like to make your way forward, brother.
There's a verse in John that says, "No man comes to the Father lest he draws him." There's another verse in John 14 and 6 that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." And that's my salvation verse. When I was about 23, I prayed one night and asked God to show himself to me. And through spiritual circumstances, God brought my wife and I together. Not long after meeting Denise, she arrived at my flat one day and said, "I've got a gift for you." And she gave me a brown paper bag. And when I opened it, it was a Good News Bible. My response was to her was, "Oh, thanks very much. This is you, it's not me." Now, I don't know if you've ever had or heard the voice of God, but I have. I don't know if it was an audible voice or a voice in my head or what. But at that moment, it was like somebody had pushed the pause button and everything went quiet and still. And this little voice said to me, "I thought you wanted to know me." And immediately I had a video clip of the night that I was had been running around the park and looking at the stars and contemplating the purpose of life and the purpose of my life, because that was at the centre of my life, obviously. And I was convicted. Yes, I did say that. Yes, I did pray that. So I graciously accepted this gift. And then she took it and kindly advised me, "Don't start at the beginning. Flick through to about halfway the New Testament." Now, I don't know about you, but when I start reading a book, I start at the beginning and I read to the end. I've never read a book starting halfway through. So, in my stubbornness, I started reading Genesis and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And then in exasperation, I got down and I said, "God, if you think that I can, in this modern day, the 20th century, I'm going to build an altar and sacrifice pigeons and lambs and sprinkle blood here and there, you know, you've got another thing coming. You know, you need to modernize." And I thought I was able to advise God in that capacity. And again, the pause button. Everything goes still. And a little quiet voice said, "Read the New Testament." So I read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And obviously, in that time frame of reading, I was convicted of my sin. I was convicted of God's holiness. And I was also convicted of Christ's sacrifice. And when I got to John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." And I got down on my knees beside my bed and asked the Lord into my heart and into my life. That gift at the time didn't seem significant. But now I stand before you and realize it was one of the greatest gifts I have ever received in my life. It's life-changing. I stand before you as a testimony of God's grace and mercy. I stand shoulder to shoulder with you as a testimony of God's grace and mercy, because I am still a sinner. But it is by his grace and his mercy and his righteousness that we stand before the throne of our living Heavenly Father. As time has gone on, he's revealed more and more of the deeper meanings in this word, this book of life. And I'm deeply challenged by it daily. And I reflect on the privileges that we have through his protection, his provision, and his blessing upon us, whom he has drawn unto himself. and it is with gratitude that I stand before you and testify on his behalf. When I reflect on the bread and the wine each Sunday with you, I am challenged by what it represents. I feel guilty and ashamed of my sin, and I'm at times overwhelmed and feel that I am hopeless. But praise the Lord, these symbols tell another story. They tell a story of victory. They tell a story of new hope. They tell a story of promise. And they represent a new covenant for all of us who exercise our faith. And I am deeply challenged by it and encouraged to remind each of you of what these symbols represent. So that's a little bit of my testimony of salvation, God's grace and mercy unto me. It's not something that I take lightly, and at times it's something that I feel inadequate about sharing. But I praise the Lord for the opportunity to speak in season. I'd just quickly like to pray for all of us. Heavenly Father, we congregate before your sovereign throne in the name of Jesus. Father, in our desperation to know you even more so, we come into your divine presence through the blood of Christ. We stand before you in his righteousness through nothing of our own. Father, I take this moment to uplift this congregation, this gathering of your people. And I ask, Father, that you would look upon each and every one of them with new favor, with joy, Father, with pleasure. I ask, Father, that you would anoint each and every one of them and raise up that new hope and reveal the joy of their salvation unto them, Father. Father, look upon each one of them with favor at this moment, I pray. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thanks heaps, Andrew. Appreciate that testimony, bro. And very real, and it's such an awesome thing to be able to share with your wife as well, and really appreciate you sharing that with us. So the third person who's been asked to say a little something is me. And I know you probably heard plenty of my voice, so I apologise in advance. But I do have a little something to share that I'm thankful for. And I suppose being asked to talk about something that you're thankful for can be a bit tricky, because you're given limited time, when most of us in this room will be able to talk for hours and hours about the things that we're thankful for. But I'll be very brief this morning and just talk about something more specific. But truly, I do consider myself to be very blessed to be where I am, to be surrounded by friends and family who care for me and share my love for Jesus, to have a beautiful wife and newly an adorable, totally cute, I'm sure you'd agree, son. But this morning I do want to just talk a little bit about how thankful that I am that God's ways are so far above our own, and how even when situations may seem like there is no good in them, God is in control and will use it to mold you into the person that he wants you to be. So I'm going to take you way, way, way back to when I was just a young, far less hairy little boy. I was born in Dannevirke. Probably explains a lot. It was all good. But I truly am very lucky that being born over there, I was born into a family with parents that had and do have a strong faith. It meant that no matter what was going on when we were kids, we always knew who God was, and he played a big part in our lives from a young age. I'm so grateful that this was our environment, and I don't take for granted how blessed my brothers and I are to be brought up in the ways of the Lord. However, I was the sick kid. I had very bad asthma, I had allergies to certain things, but the main issue was discovered when I was about 1 year old. Through testing, it was discovered that I had what is called a coarctation of the aorta. So for those of you who don't know, the aorta is the main artery that carries blood from your heart to the rest of your body, and for some reason, mine was constricted, and a lot less blood was able to get around my body. I was put on a waiting list to have heart surgery to get this repaired because my heart was under significantly more stress trying to keep my body going. I ended up waiting for about 3 years without being accepted for surgery. It got to the point where I had no detectable pulse in the lower parts of my body, and pretty much slept all day because I had such bad blood circulation and no energy. I always think back on this now as an adult and think how hard it must have been for my parents to trust God in this time and know that He would do things in His time and that I would be fixed. But my parents' faith held strong, and God finally spoke through a newspaper article that my parents saw. It talked about how more heart surgeries were being funded by the government for children, and so they sent a letter to inquire. Well, a long story short, with God's hand on the whole situation, I ended up being booked in at Green Lane Hospital in Auckland to have my aorta repaired at the age of 4. So I'm trying to do this kind of quick, because I could talk for ages, but we ended up travelling up for this long-awaited surgery, and while I don't remember a lot, I do remember the massive amounts of prayer support that I had. People not just from my church in Dannevirke, but people all over the place. Probably even people from this church because of our family's long association with this assembly. When we got there, I know that my parents were debriefed about what was going to happen to me. And a part of that was being taken into the ICU and shown some of the kids who were having similar surgeries to me, just to show my parents what it would look like when I was out of surgery so that they weren't in shock at the amount of machines and tubes needed to keep me breathing and keep my little body recovering. But again, skipping some of the finer details, the surgery went ahead. And after it was all done, my parents were called into the ICU and they came in expecting to see a little boy surrounded by machines and tubes that were breathing for me and keeping me alive. But instead, they saw me with only one machine to monitor my heart. Silly, right? I don't know. To monitor my heart rate and my respiration, because of God, I was breathing on my own. The doctors and nurses couldn't explain how I'd recovered so well, because they'd never seen anything like it. But the only explanation is God. Settle. Oh man, I guess I've got a big heart now. I suppose it's bleeding everywhere. But yeah, the only explanation for this is God. My stay in the hospital was far shorter than expected, and the surgery worked perfectly. I'm so thankful to God for having His hand on the entire situation. My scarring from the surgery is still quite substantial on my back and side, but it is a constant reminder to me of how God will never leave me. Being able to look back now as an adult at this medical scare and seeing how God carried me through that time where I was at my weakest, God was strong for me. And it's become a huge part of who I am today. I'm truthfully able to say that when I feel at my weakest, I know that He'll be strong. And there's been so many other times where I feel completely out of my depth or weak. But I'm able to see what God's done for me in the past and know that He will be strong for me again. I'm also able to see the power of prayer. I have no doubt in my mind that the sheer number of people praying for me had a huge impact on how God healed me and helped me to recover. And even the impact it had on people around the situation as well, it's totally just from God. And yeah, all glory to Him. You know, I read a letter just the other day, this is off the cuff now, but it was from Mum back at the time talking about how she was feeling at the time and stuff, and she said that you know, it's like he thinks he's Superman or something. But honestly, it's not about that at all. It's totally God that did it all for me. So yeah, I'm just so thankful for all of that. But yeah, so this morning, I just want to say again to God that I'm so thankful that his ways are far above our own, that while we are struggling and battling with hardships, he is molding us and changing us into the people he wants us to become. I love in Romans 8, where it talks about all the things that God has done and is doing for us through his salvation. And then Paul says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Our God is the great Redeemer, and he will change your life if you let him in. I'm so thankful that while God had his hand on my physical heart being repaired, he didn't stop there. Through his son Jesus Christ being crucified for my sin and then raising again on the third day, he also healed my broken spiritual heart. He took away my old, broken down, filled with sin heart and replaced it with his Holy Spirit. So that because of what he did, I might become his righteousness. And I am happy about this. I don't know, I didn't expect to be so struggling with this, but yeah, it's such an amazing truth that yeah, God sent his son to die for us so that we might become different from our sinful selves, so that we might become changed through what he's done for us. And it's something that I will never stop being thankful for. So yeah, that's all I wanted to say, and I apologise. But yeah, so sorry for blabbering on so much, but I do have, there is now going to be a time where if you feel like you want to stand up and say, or sit down and say, or however you want to do it, just say something that you're thankful for, then please feel free to do so. I know it seems selfish because I've talked so long, but if you would like to keep it just to one or two sentences, that would be awesome, just so that everyone has an opportunity to say something. And we'll probably hold back on the microphone just because it might happen quite fast. So yeah, if you want to stand up and say something that you're thankful for, then please feel free to do so now, and then we'll move into a song and then have communion together.